December 13, 1989. Joy Elliott interviewed by Kay Briggle and Pat Navarro in Signal Hill.
Was the Long Beach, North Long Beach Club already going? Or?
No, they started. Betty's a girl baby.
Yeah.
And I think, and Gladys was on when she was in that, and this 60 gal. And Betsy Taubman. You know Betsy Taubman.
Is it Grace Bixby?
That's it. Baby, you hit it right on the head. You know Grace?
I've met Grace.
She's a very lovely person.
She lives in Medford, Oregon.
Oh, really? Well, she lived out in Pill Hills when he was alive.
Richard?
Yeah, yeah. Well, now, Richard's the one I was talking about that was married. Let's see. How is Carl Fry mixed up with Richard?
I think Carl Fry was Richard's brother-in-law.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Can you get anything strange from thing to thing?
I'm glad the paper cutters on.
And they started that for Charter out in North Long Beach, and I don't know if it's still going or not. I really don't. But at all the elections, we always help, you know, with getting stuff out.
But did you start, or do you think they started that club because your mother lived in North Long Beach? Or
no.
Benny
Girlbaby was one of those that was really pushing in that. And she was present, and Grace Bixby was present.
But Grace, I don't think, ever lived in North.
No. But she was just so deeply. Originally, I think, Gladys O'Donnell and Grace and Betsy Taubman and Betty Girlbaby, they were the four that were together. And then, of course, they disagreed and, you know, deeply. But they started the North Long Beach Republican Club. And I don't know this day whether they're still going or not.
And what kind of things did you do with them? Did you work on elections? Or?
Yeah, well, yeah. And then to get all of the stuff out every year, you know, that you take it to door to door and mail out. No, we all worked in there.
Were there candidates that you worked for?
Oh, sure. Sure.
Like?
Was there a boy named Grant before
Craig? Yeah, Bill Grant.
Okay. Yeah, got Bill Grant in. And then we ran Craig Hosmer. And Craig Hosmer lived right behind me. He was on Lemon Avenue before they had their first child. And, we got Craig elected. We got brains at that point. And his wife was a very lovely person. And I'm trying to think who else. There were some people over in... off of Bixby, over in Las Cruces. God, I can't think of her name. But when they had a big deal there, it was when Nixon's wife was there as a special guest before he was ever elected. Of course, we worked for Nixon. Get our brains out for him, too. So.
In 1960, you mean? Or when he ran for the Senate, which? Before that.
Well, I think it's when he ran for president. We went to one big deal over in Whittier. And when he and Pat came in, drove into this big arena, there was a falling star came right down over his head. And I looked at Mother and I said, that's an omen. And I don't know whether he was elected that year or the next time, but I'll never forget that falling star. Interesting thing.
And did you stay with the Republican Club after you married?
Well, up until, I was with it when Mother was involved in it. And then when Tony got in school, I got involved in politics.
In what way?
This town.
What did you do in this town?
Well, I went to every planning commission meeting and every council meeting and helped with the elections. And... Mr. Harris was the one that ran the politics.
Who's Mr. Harris?
Tribune, Signal Hill Tribune. He got $800 a month from railroad companies to run the politics in Signal Hill. You don't know about Fred, about Mr. Harris?
Tell us about Fred Harris.
Well, Fred Harris is a son. I can't think of the old man's name, but he lived right behind me. And my friend Carol Winterburn, and who I'm still very close to, she's my best friend. And I got interested in politics. And so when there was a recall, and we were trying to keep the old council in, and so Hubert Chapman was the city clerk then, and and he was Patrick running politics, Maddie, and against Harris. And Nellie Kubelik was in there like crazy. And so Carol and I loaned our names to hit up that, that deal. Had our pictures in the paper. We got sued for $50,000 a piece. They're liable and slandered. And what they had it on, and we had two guys. One just died. Johnny Johnson just died. You know about Johnny Johnson. And the man he was with, it was a delightful man, lived out on Carson, and they wrote all of our stuff. We didn't write any of it. We were just heading up, you know. So they had one letter that went out, PTA. And then this PT just went on with a paragraph, and the P, but it had nothing to do with PTA. And they sued us on that. And
what happened on the suit?
Huh?
What happened on the suit?
One day, Charlie came home for lunch every day, and there was a Hudson River up across the street. And I said, see that man over there? And he said, yes. And I said, he's going to come over here and hand me a paper. So he did. He came to the door and said, Joy Elliott here. And I was standing behind Charlie, and he said, yes. And he said, I have a subpoena for you. And I said, I don't want it. And Charlie said, open the door and let it. You have to take it. So Harris was suing us, and he shut me up. He didn't shut Carol up. He never bothered her, but boy, didn't he. I got out fast. But the old man died, and we thought it was all over. But Woodard could take it on. And so it was 2 years. And finally, an attorney here that was affiliated with the Democrats, and Peter Chapman, wrote our letter of apology to Mrs. Harris. And it was finally over in 2 years. But it makes you gray-headed. And it makes you get out. It didn't be. That was enough. But it was interesting to follow, because we followed politics for years, and we're here at all the meetings, and knew all the people.
Yes. Who were the oil companies who paid Mr. Harris?
Shell. I can't tell you exactly all of them, but Shell was one of the main ones. You know, they had a big interest here.
And what did Mr. Harris do for this $800 a month?
He put out the paper every week, and he had his little group with Nellie Kubelik and all the people that were interested, mostly at North End. And they could throw an election and did. So they worked like crazy. But Nellie Kubelik would be at a meeting in the afternoon and agree on a certain thing. She'd go home and talk to Mr. Harris and come back and look the other way. She was something else. You never knew Nellie Kubelik. She was something else way big in her lodge, Mason. She was a big son. And then we had Minnie Hall. And he'd do the same thing. He'd agree on a vote in the afternoon and go down and talk to old Tom. It's Tom's last name, Denham. And then he'd go there that night, and hopefully old Tom said, vote.
So he wasn't affiliated with the Harris issue yet?
No, it was after Harris died, I think, that he got into it.
And who took over when Harris died?
Well, his son ran the paper for a long time.
And
his wife.
Were they also paid by the oil companies?
I don't know after that. I don't know, but everybody knew that $800 a month was a lot of money in those days.
Yeah.
But he controlled Signal Hill with his newspaper and his groups. They had all kinds of different groups, you know. They'd have a different name for them. Really?
And were they Democrats? You said Peter Chapman was a Democrat.
I don't know what Harris was. I really don't. I still go to breakfast every Sunday morning with Peter Chapman. He's 87. And my friend, we've been friends, all of us, for years and years and years. And he's the one that really got us involved in politics. But he's 87 and
he lured you away from the Republican Party?
What?
He lured you away from the Republican
Party?
No,
I've never changed. And of course, we don't talk much politics like that. We talk about everything else. But he's been swimming every day of his life until about the last 3 months. He just had a new pacemaker put in. I mean, he doesn't go, but he would go at 6 o'clock every morning and swim way out And the people there, you go down at the Montreal, the people up in the apartments have seen him out there. And he swims on his side, kind of like this. And they'd call the lifeguard station, and they'd come out from the harbor barrel and out. And they finally know, and they do that once in a while. They'd say, oh, it's you. And they'd turn around the other way. People thought he was drowning. But he's got a wonderful brain. He's got an IQ of 187. And we love to talk to him because we dig stuff out of him all the time. Every Sunday morning we had breakfast over at Rosewood's.
And he was not part of the Harris machine yet?
No. He was more or less in with Todd Faulkner, I think, and Bruce that had the Hilltop. And, you know, they ran a bookie out of there for years.
They did?
Yeah. The Hilltop Cafe. Did Bruce have another name? No, they ran a gambling thing out of there for years.
Okay, tell us about Kid Mexico.
Well, I went to school with Edna, his wife, at Burnett, and she had twin sister, Edna and Bethel Rozier. And I didn't see too much of them in high school. But we were real close. I used to go down to school all night with the girls, doing real well. And then when she married Todd, we used to go down and play bingo once in a while, Todd, Charlie, and I. But I was never involved with him at all with activity he had. Carol was pretty much, he went down and helped out with the kids' stuff down there. And Charlie and Tony and I went to England to his home in 1949. And when we came back, we were in the Big Park. What's the big park in New York?
Central Park.
Central Park. And I saw these beautiful big white poodles, standards. So I had to find out how crazy about standard poodles. And she sent her son out with this little cup ball. Well, that was Bo Peep Picasso. And we raised 8 of her pups. And then Fifi Latrec, one of those we bred down and had 10 smaller ones. And I'll always be very grateful to Edna because those animals were wonderful. But I never got close to Edna in those days. I never saw much of her. She wrote me and asked me to come out to Palm Springs and bring the dogs and all the things she had out there. But I never really saw Edna personally between that time. And then, of course, she died with rectal cancer. But he was something else. And when he told her that he bought a place, you know, they lived in the building down there for that Ford place with the 20th American when he had all the games in there. And so he came home and told her he bought a property out. And she thought it was Las Cerritas. And she was so thrilled. And he brought her out here and showed her the place on Cerritas.
Oh.
And he was punch drunk. Real nice person. I mean, real good to you. Very dramatic. And he did a lot of good for a lot of kids. But he was punch drunk. But then I was real sorry when Edna died, because she was a nice gal, but she had quite a life with him. And I just understand that let's see, he died.
Yes.
And one of the boys took care of all of them. I suppose they sold his property, this last piece of property over here on Cerritas. Are you ever in that place?
No. I remember driving past it.
He had built a room on the back for the basement. And one time, he was having a political thing, and Carol and I went. And it was a great big room, and he had, God, he served wonderful food and liquor all over the place. But that's the most interesting big room back there. It was added on to the house and at the basement. But that was the only time I was there.
Yeah. Who else had gambling? Besides the Hilltop and the bookie upstairs at Charlie.
That was Bomb. That was Pat Bomb. Let's see. There was and have you ever heard about a man named Hicks? I think that was a bootlegger. Well, he got all his alcohol off the ships, and he sold it all over the hill. And he used to drive a great big, it was a Cadillac horse, and had a big dog, but he was a little man. But we always heard about him. I'm sure his name was Hicks, but you never heard about him?
There wasn't any other gambling, or?
Yeah. They had it up. I don't know. I know it's a different offices. I know one of these they gambled all the time. But that was just part of the oil field. They were wild. Wild, but very good.
Did you ever go to the foothill or the to eat it?
Okay.
What was it like?
They had a wonderful dance extra there. As a matter of fact, somebody was talking to me the other day about it. Still someplace else they have that, some of that group. But it was a wonderful dance extra there. And of course they had, it was the cottage house from the Benny's property. You know where the Benny's property was?
Tell them, Kate.
On top of the hill, and I don't know what that street is that goes north, but the northeast corner was that great big Benny house.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this carriage house in the back.
Yeah.
And it was moved across the street then, and that's what was the hilltop.
Mm-hmm.
And then the property on that side that had become the Shell Company offices, and I don't know who the first owners of that.
Is that the Power House?
Yeah.
Get it.
But that carriage house was part of, and we've been up there and tried to find that, there's some kind of a deal that's up there on a, by the drive there, the Benny place. Never been able to find it. But it was the Bates.
Yeah, there's supposed to be some kind of a survey like that.
Yeah. And that's the center of the two ranches.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah. Los Alamitos and Los Cerritos Rancho.
What else should I have asked you about? What if we left out?
I don't have the least idea. Practically told you my whole life. No, I am real happy that I'm a lady. I've met some real fine people. I at one time thought I'd go into the daughters.
But isn't there any daughters of the Golden West?
But I'm not much of a charmer. I have a lot of friends, but I don't put too much into my organization.
So you don't belong to much else besides the
Signal Hill bunch. When I worked, two things I said I'd never do, and don't ever say that. My mother said, dear, don't ever say you won't do it because you'll do it, and that's the truth. I said, I'll never listen to soap operas, and I'll never go around with a bunch of old people, and I do them both. I'm down to just Santa Barbara now, but that's all. But Percy Blair, my neighbor, I don't know where I started because she said, let's go down and see about the senior citizens. So we got involved, and we've gotten a whole lot of the people involved out there in North End. And we've got a wonderful group. And that Susie is about the best thing that ever happened to us.
Who's Susie?
She's the girl that has charge of, well, she's under Denise.
Mm-hmm.
Denise has held the recreation department under Susie Hughes. Mm-hmm. But she's great. We all love her very much. But we've got a lot of real fine people in there. I wish we could get them into the historical, but it's not easy. They're not. They turn out, and I'm telling you that I have had more phone calls and said that was the most wonderful party I ever had. I told Don, too. That was really, he didn't get out there Saturday. It really was, Pat. Everybody said, boy, that Pat did a hell of a job. You
not
did. I just don't know how you've got any strength left.
It's been a busy couple of days for me. I have my in-law.
are you making your toys now?
Do I already cook?
Oh, my God. Yes. And do you remember the plunge?
Of course. I even remember the plunge.
Okay. Down the foot is the tamale place. Right across the walk there. And I think we got three those old tamales for a dime. And if you had chili on it, it was 20 cents. And those people were at Locust and, what was 18th Street? State Street. And they made these things in the garage there. And we used to go and buy them, and they'd wrap them all up in newspapers.
God, they were good.
Oh, I'm telling you, all of us. I know it. But when we'd get down that... And we go down just especially to get the tamales on the pike. We went to the pike every New Year's Eve to get the pennies.
Yeah. Tell us what happened Describe what happened at the pipe on New Year's Eve.
We lived there at 32 North Golden when my dad left when I was five, and we went down to band concerts every Sunday. Sat out there in those things. And I keep analyzing myself because my mother loved classical music, and I heard it at home all the time, and it made me sad. But I think it was because of my mother and father's dissension and his leaving. And to this day, there's some things I can't listen to. I just cry all over the place. And mother loved it, and we went to band concerts. And I'd sit there until I'd begin to cry, and she'd take me home. But I sat through a hell of a lot of band concerts in my life. In later years now, I listen to 28 and hear a lot of good music. But some things get me. The Barcarolle and some of the Christmas things that's so wonderful at Christmas time, the Catholics always play it. There's two names of things I can't say. Can't you name any? I heard it the other night, Satin Ball. Mm-hmm. Awful. But of course, I love jazz. I love dance music when we had it in my day. And of course, I drove my mother nuts with it because she couldn't stand it. In fact, this music today is not music as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. But, Benny Goodman, we danced all those people. Balboa, and Uptown. Those are happy music.
What was
the
thing about New Year's and pennies?
New Year's Eve, they had a truck, and they had brand new pennies in barrels, and they'd go the length of the pipe, and all these people there, they'd throw them out, both sides of the truck. And we'd all, if we get five, we were really going to town. But God, you get your fingers stuck down trying to pick them up. But everybody was down there on New Year's Eve. And when we lived on Golden Avenue, we walked down the walk and walk clear down pipe. We did that many, many, many times. But that's fun on the pipe.
I remember the pipe when it was the pipe.
Yeah.
Before it became the Queen's pipe.
One New Year's Eve, I rode the jackrabbit 12 times straight. I was with Lowell Owens, and the guy who died. But I went to school with him, and he didn't take me to the jackrabbit, but he said he rode it 12 times. God, I couldn't live on one of those things today. It would kill me. But it was hot stuff.
What other kind of things did you like to do at the pipe? Did you go to the plunge?
Oh, yes, I went. See, we love the plunge.
Didn't they wreck bathing suits?
Sure.
I didn't
sure. And then there was a way you could go out to the ocean. You went through this tunnel light. And I know there was a place you walked through the water when you came back to get the sand off to get back in. And you had a thing on your hand, marked on your hand, so you could get back in.
I'm trying to recollect my memory of the plunge. Was there not a fountain or something in the center?
Yeah, on the it divided the children's part from the big part. Yeah, and we'd sit up on the fountain water and come down on it. I never learned to go up on the high things. So I could dive off the board, you know, like a belly flop. I never could get up on those high ones. It scared me to death. No, we loved the plunge. When we learned to swim across, it was a big deal. One of the nicest things in my life is when we lived on the west side, in the summertime, we were in our bathing suits most of the time. And my cousins would come down and stay, and every time the drumming would drum, they would come down. And they'd usually start at 10, and the next start at 11, and the next start at 12, as the tide changed. And we always took our little fire sack and picked them up by hand. And the wave would come in, and here would be all these little things just all over the place. And you'd grab them and leave them, and everybody's screaming. And then the next wave would come in and take it back out. See, they'd go in with their tails and lay the eggs, and the male goes in behind them. But we caught many a gun in them. One night, Mother and the four of us, three boys and myself, went into the flood control, and there were some kind of sandy places, you know. And that night we got over 500 gunmen. We had a great big tub full of gunmen, and every time that wave would come in, that thing was just salad.
Did you eat them?
Yeah. Yes, and we kids had to clean them. And my mother would cook them in cornstarch. Not cornstarch, but cornmeal. Sure. Full of bones. That'd be very careful. And we gave everybody cornmeal. That was just a way of life. But that was one of the nicest things in my childhood, was cornmeal hunting. And people, both my ex-husband, dummies, didn't believe it. So we went down to Huntington Beach with Ralph and a bunch of those Kansans, because when I was married to him, they were all from Burlington, Kansas. That's all I saw. And they didn't believe it, and we'd get out there and be picking up one and wave it, hit him in the butt, and then we really got him. But it happened to Charlie the same way. They wouldn't believe it. And they'd get out there and see him, and they just couldn't stand it. Have you ever been cornmeal hunting?
I've never participated. I've watched.
You've seen them?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that was a wonderful fun.
Because I figured if I picked them up, I might have to clean them
Well, I wouldn't clean them
throw
them today.
Throw them back.
No. Well, we'd cut the heads off and do this and take the eggs out.
No.
Well, and your kids would do lots of things. But we were the ones that cleaned them. No, a lot of people don't believe that happens, but it does. And of course, you weren't supposed to use flashlights, and you weren't supposed to use nets.
Right.
And now I think they're pretty...
You're still not supposed to. I know.
But you're supposed to have a permit, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
You know about a permit?
Yeah, we never did. Never did. Didn't have to wait back then. Well, hell, so was that 60-some years ago.
I have never taken my kids to
the cornmeal
hunting.
Oh.
I mentioned this to my daughter,
Cindy, But really, it's a wonderful experience. It really is. No, we'd have our bonfires on the beach and have weenie bakes and all the neighborhoods go down together.
Okay, I remember when we were kids, my dad was on Sunset. And so, like my husband and I, during the summertime, my dad, my mom, and my two brothers and myself at college, go down to Cuba, to Bill Beach.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd stay there all day long, and then on the weekends we'd go. And we'd take my uncle and his family, and we'd stay there until like midnight, 10, 11 o'clock.
Sure.
And then they'd bonfire, and we'd eat roast, and marshmallow roast.
Right. Burn your hands with the marshmallows in your mouth.
I also did regret that my kids are going to miss that, because they don't have that.
I know, kids miss so much. Pete Osmond taught me to drive when I was 12 years old on this hill. And he had an old racer. And it was left on the street up there, and nobody claimed it, so finally they took it home, and Pete and his brothers worked on it and got it going. So he taught me to drive on that, and that's when you had the throttle instead of a foot thing. And you had the reverse in the middle, You clutch, you reverse, and you brake. And one day, when we were there on Little Street, we had a croquet court out in the back, and the boys made a basketball court east of us, a vacant lot there. So all the kids stayed at our place most of the time. So Keith Pearsall and Howard Baxter, and do you know about Keith?
No, go ahead, finish.
And let's see, Howard Baxter and Stan Rasmussen and but anyway, they were all out there. And so I had three girlfriends up. And I said, you guys want to go for a ride? And you cracked it. Well, at that time, if you know the ground there at 745 or so, well, you drove in and there was a great circle went around, the driveway. Went clear around all those trees and there was a rose garden in the center. So toward the back, it was slanted a little bit, so I got the girls to push it. I'd left the clutch on, got in, and somewhere in this little square part in the back of the damn thing. So I drove him up around Signal Hill and came back. And as he drove in, there was this curb up that high. Well, I pulled the throttle down and jumped the curb. Well, I got out and I found a piece of iron about really long, and I hit it under one of the bushes. So then we went out to get the kids off the basketball court, Pete Osmond had owned it, and came back, and the car, the body was that far from one wheel and that far from another, and they just picked it up and put it in the middle and drove it out. So So then I told Pete later on, I said, Pete, there was a piece of iron that came out of it. It was probably a pile of spring. We never did find it. But his mother was awful mad at me. And of course, my cousin Paul was out there playing with the kids. And he ran out to the restaurant there, 35th and American, where my mother was working nights. And she came home and she said, there'll not be any more driving. He had a big tattletale. He'd gone out and told me. I was not a long time about that.